Maybe if he had Blake Topmeyer, he could beat Saban. Blake, before we get started on anything local with Tennessee, we were talking about this deal. Jimbo Fisher went to the Houston Touchdown Club, and he poked the bear with Nick Saban, man. Now he's written a check that he's got to try to cash.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is Jimbo has not come particularly close to beating Saban since he's been at Texas A&M. I mean, I think what Jimbo has done in a short amount of time there is actually pretty impressive. I mean, he's elevated Texas A&M to the place I think A&M always thought it should be but hadn't been throughout really much of its history. And Jimbo, in short order, has done a good job of elevating that program. But if you look at what he's done against Alabama, I mean, it was just last year he was getting whipped 52-24. And Texas A&M's only loss last season, and the year before that was a blowout loss as well. So, yeah, Jimbo is playing to his faithful there, playing to the crowd. I get it, but the reality is on the field he hasn't come particularly close to beating Saban since he's been at A&M.
One of the things that has been leaked out by members of the playoff committee itself is the possibility of playoffs expansion. Blake, and that they looked into what was like 63 different scenarios. I don't even know how you could do that. It's like Oregon uniform combinations. But, I thought about that because if you're Jimbo, you're thinking, well, if they expanded that rascal even by two teams last year, we would have made the playoff. But that information wouldn't come out the way it did unless they're all planning on expanding the playoffs. It's just figuring out, A, when, and B, how does it look?
Right. And I think – you know, with the college football playoff, I think we've all kind of known in the back of our minds for at least the last couple of years that this is the inevitable conclusion here is that this expands beyond four teams. It's exactly what you said. It's does it go from 4 to 6, 4 to 8, 4 to 12, 16, whatever, and when does it happen? And I think, you know, I guess that's one of the fun things about college football is that we can sit around and talk about this stuff, you know, talk about a debate whether the current format is better, whether the old format was better, whether, you know, six teams would be better, eight teams. And I guess personally, I hope that college football kind of still is in a place where people can debate about whether the format is good or could be better or what have you, rather than just gets to a point where it gets kind of stale and accepted that this is what the playoff is. It's what it's always going to be. It's not going to change. Et cetera. I think the fact that college football has evolved has probably been good for the sport. But I do think that there's probably a risk of going too far. And I know, you know, some of the college football purists probably would tell you this. Like if you start to add too many teams in it, do you water down the regular season too much? And so I do like the fact that evolution is kind of always on the brain, but I wonder, you know, just how many teams is too many teams.
Blake Topmeyer joins us, and you know this too, Blake. If they make it 8, then the 9th team will be complaining. If they make it 6, then the 7th team will be – I mean, they're going to be complaining forever. Blake Topmeyer joins us, SEC columnist for the USA Today Network.
Well, Blake,
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's so true. I mean, you compare it to the NCAA tournament. Used to be with 64 teams, the 65th team was grumbling. Now, what do we have, 68 teams, and the 69th team is grumbling. It gets to a point, though, let's say it goes to 16. If you're not in the top 16 in college football, you don't have a chance. Frankly, I think if you're not in the top probably 6 teams in college football, you really don't have much of a chance of winning the national championship. But it's so true. Whoever's left out is going to be grumbling that they weren't let in. And again, I think that's one of the great things about college sports is you have those debates at the end of the season, whereas in professional sports, it's true that it's all decided on the field during the regular season. And there's not much debate at the end of the year. You can't really complain about whether you were left out, but I don't know. I kind of favor the system where you have some of that controversy. I think controversy oftentimes leads to more intrigue.
Reporter wanting controversy. There you go. Blake Topmeyer joins us on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, speaking of controversies, I guess I want to ask you, Blake, there at Tennessee, why is Danny White still talking about the negativity of the fan base? I think he's approached this a little bit wrong here, dragging on a little too long. What do you think?
Great question, and totally, totally agree. There's a difference between being right and saying what you know to be right. Because the reality is, I think we all know, if we've spent any amount of time monitoring Vols fans, particularly Vol Twitter, I think if we're all being honest, we know that Tennessee fans can be over the top at times. They can be overly negative, particularly on Twitter at times. But knowing that's true and saying it are two different things. And I really think by continually doing that by Danny White, he's showing a lack of humility. He's showing a lack of understanding for Tennessee fans. I mean, before you start criticizing Tennessee fans, maybe get to know them a little bit and maybe give some credit for what this fan base has been through for more than 10 years now, because this is a very passionate, very loyal, I've found to be, just in my, three, 4 years living in Tennessee, very passionate, very loyal fan base. But yeah, they're frustrated, and at times they're too negative. But also, I think Danny White is falling victim to taking Twitter as a cross-section of reality. And you can't do that when it comes to sports. You can't do that when it comes to anything in life. To take Vol Twitter as a cross-section of Tennessee fan base, I just find to be untrue. I mean, as I said, as I've lived in Tennessee for almost 4 years now, I've found a lot of Vols fans to be very passionate, but also very supportive, and given what they've been through, oftentimes positive and hopeful people. So, yeah, Vol Twitter has a well-earned reputation for being a bit crazy sometimes, for being over the top, for being overly negative. All that's true, but you can't fix Twitter. You can't. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. Twitter's always going to kind of reach to the extremes, and you just have to ignore it and also put a winner on the field. Like, if Danny White and Josh Heupel put a winner on the field, I think they'll find that this is one of the best fan bases in the country and that they are dying to support a winner and will eagerly support a winner. And frankly, I think Tennessee fans have done a pretty good job of supporting pretty mediocre teams and at times bad teams in the past few years. So I totally agree. I think to a certain extent what he's saying is true, but it just doesn't need to be said, and it shouldn't be said, particularly by someone who's just a few months onto the job and has no history with Tennessee.
Yes, we're on with Blake Toppenmeyer, SEC columnist for USA Today Network. And I guess when I ask you, do we have any update? And I don't think he's coming back to Tennessee, but where is Henry Toa Toa in this transfer portal? Because it seemed like he was going to Alabama, then Ohio State, then next thing you know, we haven't heard anything. Where is he going? Do we know?
No, don't know. And I think one of the, it's still a question on Tennessee fans' brains of like, is Toa Toa coming back? And I've been saying for months now that I would be pretty shocked if Henry Toa Toa is coming back. So we don't know where he's playing football next fall, but we're pretty confident it's not going to be at Tennessee. You know, one of the things with Toa Toa, and I suspect maybe a reason why he remains in limbo here, is, so as you guys know, the NCAA has passed the one-time transfer exception rule, which that's great for people like Henry Toa Toa. They can transfer and they can be immediately eligible the following season. However, the SEC still has its bylaw on the books that says intra-conference transfers, if you're an undergraduate, like Henry Toa Toa is, have to sit out a season if they transfer from one league school to another, unless they were to get a waiver. And that NCAA rule change does not trump that SEC rule. Now, the SEC is expected to take a look at that bylaw, to review it within the next few weeks. Greg Sankey told me in April that he expected SEC leadership to review that bylaw by late May or sometime in June. Now, that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to change it, but we've seen other conferences get rid of that intra-conference transfer limitation, the ACC, the Mid-American Conference. So it has become a trend, but we don't know what the SEC is going to do. Whatever they do should be done within about 6 weeks' time. And I do wonder, in Toa Toa's case, is he kind of waiting around to see, is the SEC going to get rid of this bylaw, which would allow him to transfer to another SEC school and play immediately? Because if they don't, then if he transfers to another SEC school, he's putting all of his eggs in the waiver basket. And if he gets denied that waiver, he would have to sit out the 2021 season. So I got to think that's a factor in his decision making.
And since we're talking about linebackers, I guess tell us a little bit about the Mitchell kid that transferred from Texas. I'm kind of curious of why he's transferring from Texas to Tennessee, in that he was the leading tackler on the team.
Yeah, he was. But, you know, I guess as we've seen at Tennessee, sometimes those coaching changes are a ripe time for transfers. And I haven't spoken to Juwan Mitchell. I don't know. You know, I hate to say that that's the main or even the only reason why he transferred. But it is just in general terms. I mean, you look at Henry Toa'atoa, Tennessee's leading tackler. Coaching change comes along, and next thing you know, he pops into the portal. So coaching change at Texas and you know, Mitchell's in the portal. And it's I think Josh Heupel's really done a nice job, given the situation, of mining the transfer portal for different options, for different talent. I mean, I don't think Mitchell's going to become like an all-world player here at Tennessee, but he is probably going to be a starter. As you mentioned, he led Texas at tackles last year. And this is the biggest need on the roster, is adding talented linebackers, adding depth at that position. I mean, it was already a limited position coming into the spring. And then with some injuries, some suspensions, some additional transfers, you know, it got really thin all spring. And so if you are a guy like Juwan Mitchell sitting in the transfer portal and you say, I want an opportunity to be a Power 5 starter, just like I was at Texas, I don't want to lose that role. Well, Tennessee does offer a ready-made opportunity. I mean, I would be pretty surprised if he doesn't lock down a starting spot. And so out of all the transfers that Josh Heupel has added in the last 2 weeks, I mean, Joe Milton, the transfer quarterback from Michigan, obviously got a lot of publicity, and rightfully so. He's a quarterback with starting experience. But I really think maybe the most important one was Mitchell. This is Juwan Mitchell, the linebacker from Texas, just because of how big of a need it was for Tennessee to add somebody with starting experience and kind of a proven veteran to its roster.
Yeah, no doubt about it. One more for me, and it's real quick. I'm kind of lost in translation. They had so many guys transfer in. How many available scholarships do they have?
You know, I've had a hard time pinning down that number, too, because it gets so murky. You know, you have 25 initial counters that you can add, but where it gets kind of murky is when you have guys sign national letters of intent and then ask to be released. Then, you know, then it becomes a little unclear, like, how many spots do they have left? I think they can add a couple more guys, but I can't tell you the exact number because I don't know it. Somebody over there knows it, but I don't. And the reason being, what it all comes back to is, you know, they signed all these guys in the winter signing classes, but then as those guys are released from their letters of intent, I believe there's avenues you can take to try to reclaim those spots, and so that's kind of leads to some murkiness there.
Well, with Blake Toppenmeier, the SEC columnist for USA Today Network.
Yeah, Blake, another guy that just got added, Javonte Payton, returns home to Tennessee. He's a guy people in Middle Tennessee know well, a local wide receiver, transfers back home to play for the Big Orange.
Yeah, and a guy that Tennessee was in the mix for his services as he was transferring out of junior college, as I recall, and went to Mississippi State instead. Caught 19 passes last year, I believe, with Payton just 1 year of eligibility remaining, where Juwan Mitchell, the linebacker transfer we were discussing, has a couple years of eligibility remaining, but Payton with just the 1 year. But, you know, I didn't feel like that was a position that Tennessee had to address. I thought they were in a little bit better shape at wide receiver than some other positions, but you got a guy with SEC experience who caught 19 passes last year. Again, I think you're trying to elevate your program in every area. And we talked about those intra-conference transfers having to sit if they're undergraduates. But in this case, he's a graduate transfer, so he will be able to play immediately this fall because he is a graduate transfer. Even though it's a transfer within the league, he's got the immediate eligibility. And so, again, you know, with all these additions that Heupel has made in the transfer portal, I think it's now four in like the last 2 weeks. I just, none of these guys are program-changing guys, I don't think, unless Joe Milton really takes off here, the transfer quarterback, then he could be a program-changing guy. But overall, I don't know that any of these guys are program-changing guys. But I give Heupel credit for not just sitting on his hands and saying, like, well, we're going to roll with what we got here. No, he's really been mining the portal, which you're smart to do, particularly in this era, particularly with the one-time transfer exception rule, clearing the way for guys to play immediately. This is something that has to be part of college football recruiting now, even more so than before. It's almost like you have three recruiting windows now. You have your December signing period, you have your February signing period, and then you have like this transfer period after spring practice where you can gobble up a few more guys. And I think, we'll see what Heupel can do in this 2022 recruiting class, because long term, I think recruiting is the way he needs to get this program back on track. But in the short term, I think these transfers, they do plug some holes a little bit. They're not going to turn around the program, but they help address the situation that he inherited and make it just a little bit better.
Blake, great stuff, man. Always appreciate the time. And I know people might be confused. They're like, no, Blake covers. He's the Vols guy, right? Well, your role got expanded. So if you need to remind people again, you can kind of tell them what you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. Serving as SEC columnist for the USA Today Network. So, you can still from time to time find my work in the Knoxville News Sentinel and our other USA Today Network properties, particularly when I'm writing about Tennessee. But we'll be touching on all those other SEC schools as well to serve the USA Today Network. And you can always find me on Twitter at @BTopMeyer, which will allow you to see all of my work, and you won't miss a column.
Well, there you go, man. We don't miss some great stuff as always, and we'll catch up again soon.
Appreciate it. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.